before we get into the Word of God this morning, I don't know about you, but I am so glad to be in the house of God today. It's such a blessing to be able to be with you guys and not be home alone and shut in, so I'm glad to have the privilege to be with you. I want to just take a moment and just thank everyone who was able to come out yesterday for our outreach, our Bags of Hope outreach. It went great. We had an amazing time. We had, I think, the most people we've had in a long time for an outreach. We had plenty of people, and it just went really well. We were able to bless many people from the community and give them a bag of groceries in Jesus' name, invite them to church, and it was a really fun time to get together and have the church outside the four walls and make an impact in the community. So I want to thank all of you that were able to come and participate in that. I want to thank all of you who gave for those groceries and things, because we gave away a lot of groceries that we had, and we also brought some from the Prince William County Food Bank. And so it was just a really fun time together in Jesus' name. And so I wanted to give you a real quick update, and we want to pray for them today. But many of you know Deb Ramirez. Her husband Brian is dealing with some medical issues right now, and so we want to pray and ask God to heal him and bless him. And Tanya Vaughn had a really neat idea, and what we wanted to do is ask each of you, if you would, before you leave today, you'll see on the table out in the front, we have some mints like this, and then we have like some little cards that are attached to that. And what we're doing is we're just going to give that to them. We're going to pray for them. And this one somebody has made from the Vaughn family, and it has Isaiah 41:10, and it just says, "Love the Vaughn family." And so you can put any kind of encouraging message on there that you want to put. You can put your favorite verse or anything like that, get well soon, whatever you would like to do. And we just want to do this as a tangible way of letting them know that we're praying for them as a church family and that we love them. And so you'll see these little cards that are blank out on the table. And so we just ask if you could, I think Tanya was asking if each family could do like four or five of those, and then we could mix those in the jar. And then we're going to have somebody from the church take that to them this week, just to let them know we're praying for them as a church family and believing God to touch him and heal him. Amen. So let's just take a moment right now and thank you for the privilege it is to be a part of heal him. So Father, we just come to you right now in Jesus' name, and we thank you for the privilege it is to be a part of the broken, to heal us. We thank you that you took our sins upon you and your body. Thank you, Father, that you would touch his body. God, we release our faith right now as the church, and we declare in Jesus' name, let Brian be healed from every infirmity. We command those things to go from his body in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you right now that you would use this situation to strengthen his faith, God. Lord, give him just a new understanding of who you are through this process. Bless him and Deb, God. Bless their marriage, Father God. Strengthen them. And Lord, I pray today that as each of us write something, Lord, that you would give us strategic things to write, God, that it may not even make sense to us, but it would be something amazing to them. Father, we thank you for it. We thank you for encouragement that Jesus' mighty name of Christ. And Lord, we bless this family in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen, hallelujah. And I also want to, I got one more announcement before we get into the word. I want to encourage you, if you're not part of a Connect group, I'm telling you right now, it's more important than ever to be connected with the body of Christ. And I want to just encourage you, if you're not connected with one of our Connect groups, we have a men's group that meets on Saturday mornings here at 9 o'clock. We have a women's group that meets on Thursdays, and we have a married group that meets on Tuesdays. And that is not so that we can have extra things to do as a church. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes it's like we just have one thing after another. That's not what we're trying to do. What we're doing is we're creating community, like in Acts 2:42, and the Bible talks about that unity, and all of us need that when it's hard to be a Christian on your own. Amen. How many of you would say that? When we understand that we're part of a body, we understand that it's not just for our benefit that we gather together, but it's also for the benefit of others. And sometimes I've had times in my life where maybe I was tired and didn't want to go. You guys have heard the joke about the guy that basically told his wife, he goes, "Babe, I'm tired. I'm not going to church today." And he said, "You know, I those people don't like me anyway. And, you know, I'm always there and all this stuff. And they don't really like me." And she goes, "Well, you need to go." And he says, "Give me one good reason why I should go." And she says, "Because you're the pastor." And so a lot of times you may feel that way. You know, man, nobody's going to miss me if I'm not there. And I just want to tell you, if you understand that you're part of the body, when you're not there and you're not connected, the body is missing you. The body is missing something that you bring and something that you supply, the Bible says. And so I want to encourage you, if you're not connected or during this time, if you've gotten disconnected, this week is a man, he's leading the men's group. Amy is leading the women's group, and James and Jessica Jackson are leading the married group. And I want to just encourage you to reach out to them today. Don't leave today without making that step and getting connected. Amen? Amen, Pastor. All right, I'm going to have to amen myself. I can see some of you guys look like you're sleeping a little bit. Let me get, and you can let me know when you start, babe. Are we live? We want to greet everybody that's watching online as well. I know that we've got several people who are not here today. A lot of people are watching online, so we want to greet them as well. We're glad that you're here with us today. And I want to get into the third message on this series on identity that we've been doing. And today, the title of the message, if you're taking notes, is Turnaround, the Turnaround. So we're talking about identity still, and I want to tell you how I came upon this message. I don't know about you, but this past week has been kind of difficult for us. We've been facing some different challenges, different things that are coming up, just normal life things like everybody else deals with. And I was feeling, I think it was Tuesday morning, I was going through a kind of difficult time, and I got up to pray, and I was feeling bad. I'm not going to lie. I was feeling some, like, depression trying to come on me, and I was just like, God, you know, I'm not going to let this happen. I'm not going to go down under this. And I felt like the Lord spoke this word to me, turnaround. And I went, and you guys know I'm a person that loves words, and I love to look things up. And so I went and looked this word up, and it's actually, the word means to become changed for the better. It's actually a word, turnaround. And when I looked at that, I began to go to the scriptures, and God began to show me three different situations in the Bible where God brought a turnaround in somebody's life, where he literally, it was going in this direction, it was bad, and then all of a sudden, God changed the circumstances for the better. And how many of you would say today, and as I was praying this week and thinking about this, our country needs a turnaround? How many of you would agree with that? It's like when you look on the news and we're talking about identity, our country is identified right now as a divided country. And on one side, if you look at the media, you have bigots, racists, all these other things like this. And on the other side, you have oppressed people and you have all these different things. And that's what is coming out of everything that we're seeing. And our identity as a nation is being attacked. Our identity of who we are is being attacked. And there's this just oppression. There's this heaviness that's trying to come upon every one of us, no matter where you're from, no matter what you're doing. And this thing is happening. But I want to tell you today that when things get bad, the Bible says where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And I want to tell you that when things look bad like they do right now, God is up to something, and God is getting ready to bring a turnaround not only to your life personally, but he's getting ready to bring a turnaround in this nation. And I want to just declare that today, that God is up to something. And we may not see it. We may not understand what's going on. We may not see what he's doing behind the scenes. We can see what's happening in the natural. But I'm telling you today that God is bringing a turnaround in our nation. And I don't know about you, but maybe your family needs a turnaround today. Maybe your marriage needs a turnaround today. Maybe there's some situations going on in your family right now, in your family relationships, that need a turnaround. And I want to encourage you today and tell you that God is bringing a turnaround. Every time that things begin to get bad and things begin to go evil and things begin to happen, God is setting us up for something that he's getting ready to do in our lives to make a change and to make a difference. How many of you know that Jesus specializes in turnarounds? Anybody here have ever had your life turned around by the power of God? You were going one way, and then all of a sudden you cried out to him, and bam, there was a turnaround and things changed in the blink of an eye. And I just want to tell you today that many times we look to see, what can we do to bring a turnaround in our life? And I want to tell you that the three people that we're going to look at today in the Word of God, they only did a few things, and it wasn't big things. It was small things, small principles that they did, and they saw a turnaround in their life. They didn't bring a turnaround. God brought the turnaround in their life. And I want to encourage some of you this morning, you've tried everything that you know how to do. Amen? You've tried to bring a turnaround in that area of your life, or you've tried to bring a turnaround in that relationship, and it just hasn't happened. And I want to tell you today that as we get ready to look at these three turnarounds in the Bible, I want to encourage you, we're going to look at these, and I want to encourage you to look at the principles. We're going to pull those out of these three stories, and I'm telling you today that God is getting ready to give you some things that if you'll apply this to your life, you can see exactly what happened in the lives of these three people. How many of you would like to see a turnaround happen in your life today? If you would like to see that, let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's ask Him to be with us and open our hearts and minds today as we get into the Word. Father, we thank You right now for the power of the Word of God. Lord, I thank You for turnarounds. I thank You, Jesus, that You're the master of the turnaround, and I thank You that You specialize in turnarounds for those that obey You. And Father, I ask You today that every area of our lives where we need to be obedient, I pray that You would show us, God. I pray that we would come up out of this funk and we would come up out of this oppression that the enemy is trying to lay across our shoulders, and we would rise up and we would be the sons and daughters of God in this day and age that You've called us to be. Father, bless every person under the sound of my voice today that's here in the building. And if you've got your live online, God, we thank You for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you've got your Bibles with you, go ahead and turn to 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to look at the life of this widow, and we're going to see God's turnaround in her life. Now, I want to tell you today, the first turnaround we're going to talk about really quickly is the financial turnaround. And that's something that we don't talk about a lot here at the church. We don't talk about tithes and offerings all the time. We do that in our membership classes. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, right? And so we understand that finances are a big part of everybody's life. And I want to just encourage you today, God specializes in turnarounds for those that obey His word. God does not bless disobedience to His word, and we're never going to be blessed in any area of our lives where we're walking in disobedience to the word of God. Can somebody say amen to that? I know that may not be a popular thing to say these days, but that's the truth of God's word. He's never going to bless disobedience to this. I want to, and that's one of the principles that we're going to look at today through the word of God as we get into this. I want to just share with you real quickly, my wife and I can testify of the goodness of God in the area of our finances. We know what it's like to be at the day where we were getting evicted. We know what it's like to go through all kinds of very difficult times where we couldn't afford food. One time, I just want to share this with you really quickly to try to set this up. We have been tithers since we got married. And we were tithing before we got married, but we made that decision. And we said, God, for those of you that don't know, the tithe is 10%. It's the first 10% that you make. It's the first 10% of all your increase. And when you give that to God, you walk in covenant with God. And you say, God, everything I have belongs to You. And I'm returning this 10% to You. And I thank You for blessing everything else on my life. And when we do that, the Bible tells us in Malachi, God, this is the only time in the scriptures where it says, test me. God says, test me in this and see if you bring in the tithe, if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you that you cannot contain, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. How many of you know the word of God says that? And so it's an amazing thing. If we follow that and we obey God, we're going to see the blessing. And I remember when my wife and I first got married, and to make a long story short, we didn't have very much at all. We lived way out in the country in a little farmhouse. We were both working long hours, not making very much money. We didn't have a washing machine and dryer. And so I was working in construction, so I've got filthy clothes every day. And we had a son and a daughter on the way. And my wife would go into town on the weekends to wash our clothes. And we were still tithing. And a lot of people will say, well, you're crazy. You're tithing. You could save that money and buy a washing machine. We could have done that, but we believe God. And we believe God, what the word of God said. So we continued to tithe and give offerings and believe God that He was going to do what His word says. And after a few months of that, we kept praying, and we said, God, You know what we need? My wife had already picked out a washing machine and dryer that she liked, and we were just praying and believing God for that. And to make a long story short, we had something that happened, and it was a blessing for us. And I asked Pastor Chris if I could share my testimony just to encourage somebody else. I got up and shared that testimony. There was an older gentleman that came up to me after the meeting, and he looked kind of ragged and had some older clothes on, and asked me if I could go to his house after the service. And I thought to myself, I thought he just wanted me to pray for him, and he was kind of embarrassed to ask there. So I said, yeah, I'm ushering, and as soon as I'm done, you know, we'll be able to do that. So he gave me his address, and we drove out there. And when we got there, it was a nice house. And I looked at it, and I thought, man, that can't be where that guy lived. And so we went in. I knocked on the door, and I was thinking somebody else was going to answer the door and be like, you know, what are you doing here? And it was that man, and he opened the door. And when he opened the door, he began to cry. And my wife and I were like, man, what's going on? And we walk in, and he shared a quick story with us about when him and his wife were younger. And he said, we left from home one day going to church, and we left our front door open. And when we came in, there was an envelope full of money sitting on our dining room table. And he said, we had no idea what happened, who put that there, why it was there. And he said, we've always wondered what that was about. And he said, this morning when you were sharing your testimony in church, God told me that that money was for you. And this had happened years ago. He said, do you mind if I write you a check? I said, no, sir, I don't mind at all. And he walked back, wrote a check, folded it up, handed it to me, and we're just kind of like walking out like, what in the world is going on? This is the craziest thing that had ever happened. And we walked outside. I opened up the check, and I don't know what I was expecting, but it was a check for $1,000. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't dance, but I danced the jig right there in his front yard. We got in the car, we went and cashed it, and went straight to Circuit City before it went out of business is where it was. And guess what happened? We were able to pay our tithes off of that, and my wife was able to pick out the two that she wanted, and we were able to take those home. The reason I share that with you this morning is because I know I'm not just talking about something that I've read in the Bible, but I'm talking about something that I've experienced in my own life. And I know many of you have testimonies like that. I want you to look with me in 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 1 through 7, and we're going to talk about this woman this morning, this widow woman. It says, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. Can somebody say turnaround this morning in Jesus' name? Do you see the turnaround that happened in this lady's life? I want you to get a picture and an understanding, and I want you to know that the Word of God tells us that God is no respecter of persons. What that means is what He's done for one, He'll do for another. What He's done for someone else, He will do for you if you follow the Word of God and you obey the Word of God. God doesn't have favorites in that sense. He's going to follow His Word, and He's going to bless those that obey His Word. Now I want you to see in verse number 1, it tells us that her dead husband feared the Lord. In verse number 2, it tells us all she had was a jar of oil. When he asked her, what do you have? She said, I don't have anything but a jar of oil. How many times do we get caught up in our lives looking at what we don't have or looking at the little bit that we do have instead of understanding that we serve a God who always has more than enough? We serve a God who has anything that we ever need. And if we ask Him and if we come to Him, He's going to pour out His Spirit on us and bless us. See, God can take what little you have to produce a turnaround in your life. Some of you need to quit looking at what you don't have and start looking at what you do have and understand that if I will use what I have and I will obey God with what I have, God will open up the windows of heaven and He will pour out a blessing on my life that I cannot contain. God wants to bless us, but He can only bless us when we obey His Word. So I want to ask you this morning, do you obey the Word of God when it comes to finances? Are you a tither? Are you a giver? Do you give 10% of your income to God? See, what I want you to see in that last verse is so amazing. Read this last verse with me. After she heard the word of the Lord and after she obeyed the word of God, she saw a miracle take place in her home. And then verse 7, it says, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. Look at this. I want you to see something in there. God never asks us to give something that we don't have. I want you to understand that today. God is never going to ask you to give something that you don't have. What did she have? All she had was a jar of oil, and God said, give me that, and I'm going to make a miracle out of it. God is never going to ask you to give what you don't have. And here's the truth of God's word. This is the truth that we are to give. If my tithe is the first 10% of what I make, I always have my tithe to give. Does that make sense? I always have my tithe to give. And so if you give that, what you're doing is you're saying to God, listen, I'm stepping into this covenant relationship with you, and I'm declaring that you're my source, and this finances is not my source. My job is not my source because it may dry up and go away. My savings is not my source because something bad may happen and take everything I have. My retirement is not my source because the stock market may crash and I may lose all of that. My home or my wealth and the things that I've laid up for myself, that's not my source because the enemy can break in and steal. Moth and rust can come in and corrupt, but what I give to God can never life and when way. And I want to tell you today, when you tithe, you make God the source of your life. And when you do that, you can make sure that God is going to bring a turnaround in your finances. I'm telling you today, this is the word of God, and it's the truth of God's word. And if you are struggling in your finances today, stop robbing God and give to God what belongs to him, and you will see a turnaround in your finances in Jesus' name. See, this widow's identity changed from being a debtor to being one who paid her bills and had overflow. Catch that. She went from being a debtor, a person that said, help me because the creditor is coming and he's not going to take away my home. He's going to take away my sons. Back in those days, if you didn't pay your debt, your children were sold into slavery until that debt was paid off. So she wasn't looking at losing her home. She was looking at losing her sons. And she went from being a woman in debt, a woman in need, to being a woman that had overflow in her life, that not just had enough to pay her bills, but had enough overflow to live off of with her and her sons. That's the blessing of God, and that's the turnaround that can come in all of our lives if we will take action on the word of God. And here's the deal. Don't fear lack. Fear God. Every person that doesn't tithe that's a believer in Jesus Christ, I can tell you why they don't tithe. It's because they fear lack. I've had this conversation so many times with believers that love God, and they say, yeah, Pastor, but I don't have enough. And I have to explain to them, listen, you always have enough to tithe because the tithe is the first 10%. And when you do that, what happens is God has enough to make that last and go way beyond. He can make your 90% go way beyond your 100%. Bless you if you obey his word. Many people fear lack more than they fear God, and because of this, they don't take action on God's word. And I want to encourage you today, if you need a turnaround in your finances, take action on the word of God and start today to give God what belongs to God. Be a tither in Jesus' name. Amen? The next one I want you to look at is Mark chapter 5. Now I'm going to read through this kind of quickly. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. This is one of my favorite stories in the whole New Testament. I love this story. I love the story of this guy. And I love to see how God comes and Jesus comes and brings a turnaround in his life. And brings a turnaround in his mind. And I think many times we read this, but we don't really look at it and see some very important things in this that I want to bring out. So I'm going to read Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 15. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, this is talking about Jesus, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, everybody say always. Night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Can you say turnaround? Can you see the turnaround in this man's life? Jesus Christ, in one meeting, absolutely turned this man around. He needed a turnaround. He couldn't get a turnaround from anything else other than Jesus. Verse 3 tells us that he lived in the tombs. I want you to imagine this, that a man has come out from his family, out from his friends. He's living in the tombs all by himself. What does that tell us? He was living around dead things. Anybody ever feel like your life is dead? That there's nothing happening, there's nothing going on, there's nothing happening in your life? And then what happened is the people tried to tie him up, but chains weren't the answer. They tried to tie him up. They tried to chain him up. They tried to shackle him. They tried to do that to stop him from hurting other people. And they tried to do that to help him, to stop him from hurting his own self. And what we see is that he would break the chains. He would break every bind, everything that tried to bind him. He would rip those things apart, and then he would just go back wild. And because he was tormented and he was oppressed and he was dealing with all of these things, they tried to tie him up, but chains weren't the answer. They tried to leave him alone by himself, but loneliness wasn't the answer. And I want you to know that Jesus had to pass by that way. And the good news for us today is you may be here today, or you may be watching online, and you may feel like you've got some things in common with this guy, that there's dead things in your life, and you may feel alone, and you may feel oppressed, and you may feel all these things. And I want to tell you today that just like Jesus was walking the earth in that time and power was going out of him to liberate people, that same power is here today when the church gathers together. God can set you free from anything that is binding you today. The power of God is here today to bring a turnaround in your life. The power of God is here today to ensure that you don't have to walk bound in chains and you don't have to walk bound by the evil presence of the enemy. Amen? This man needed a turnaround. Verse 5 tells us he was lonely. He was crying out. He was cutting himself with stones. See, we think today that this is a new phenomenon of people cutting themselves. And what we see is this guy was cutting himself with stones over 2,000 years ago. He was doing those things. And why was he doing that? Because he was tormented in his mind. His mind was attacked all the time. And I'm telling you, the enemy has unleashed some things in the earth today. And many Christians are tormented in their minds. They know the truth, and they know who God has called them to be, and they know what God has said about them. But how many of you would be honest and say you've been experiencing some of that in your life? That the enemy is trying to bring torment, and he's trying to bring things into our lives to make us feel down and to make us feel oppressed. He was cutting himself with stones. And then I want you to see, this is the principle that we learn. Even though he was going through those things, verse 6 tells us this. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. This was a man that was oppressed. This was a man that was lonely. This was a man that was broken. And when Jesus came near, when he saw Jesus from afar, he didn't run away from Jesus. He ran towards Jesus. And he ran to Jesus, and he fell down on his knees, and the Bible says he began to worship him. I want you to understand that there's a power in our lives when we draw near to Jesus. The Bible says what? He will draw near to us. In other words, the ball is in my court and the ball is in your court. If I want to have a closer relationship with Jesus, all I have to do today is make a step of faith and draw near to him. All I have to do is say, Jesus, I've allowed this mindset to take me over, but today I'm coming near you. And when you begin to worship Jesus, when you begin to really worship, I'm telling you, that's one of the most powerful tools that you will ever see when you need a turnaround in your life. When you begin to worship, when you begin to look at Him, and when you begin to worship Him and praise Him and give Him glory in the midst of the heartache. See, many times what we want to do is we want to wait for the breakthrough, and then we will worship God. Then we will praise God. How many of you know it's easy to worship God on the mountaintop? It's easy to worship God when everything in your life is going right. It's easy to worship God. Imagine what the disciples were going through. They're in the boat with Jesus. They're riding across the lake with Jesus, and it's so easy for them to worship Him because they're seeing everything that He's doing. And this demoniac, this guy that's oppressed, he's in a completely different situation. He's oppressed, and the Bible says when he saw Jesus, he ran to Him and he worshiped. Now, I want to encourage you today, if you're going through a season where your mind is being attacked, you're going through a season where the enemy is coming in like a flood and he's trying to destroy your relationship with God. He's trying to destroy your other relationships. He's buzzing all in your mind. I'm going to tell you right now, if you draw near to Jesus and you begin to worship Jesus, you're going to see a turnaround come in your mind just like this man saw in his mind. He worshiped Jesus even though he was oppressed. And verse 15, I want to tell you today, Jesus specializes in turnarounds. Look at this. I want you to notice what Jesus didn't do, okay? Jesus didn't tie him up. Jesus didn't bind him like everybody else did. Jesus didn't do any of those things. Jesus didn't tie him up. Jesus freed him from his bonds. And I want you to notice what verse 15 says. I want to read it again. Then they came to Jesus and they saw the one who had been demon possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Man, they saw the man had been demon-possessed. His identity changed. He wasn't an oppressed person anymore, and they could see it very clearly. Something had happened. Something had changed. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was clothed, and this is the thing that I think is important. He was in his right mind, the Bible says. That was his new identity. He was a man sitting clothed at the feet of Jesus. He was in the right mind anymore. He wasn't in the wrong mindset anymore. He was in the right mind. And I don't turn around in my mind. I believe what God wants to do is Jesus wants to bring a turnaround in my mind and in your mind today. He wants to give me the ability to live in the midst of difficult times but still maintain a right mind. He wants to bring a turnaround in my thinking that will bring a turnaround in my actions that will bring a turnaround in my destiny. And I want to tell you today that if your thinking has been off, God wants to bring a turnaround in your thinking today, and that will give you the deliverance that you're looking for. This man's identity changed from being oppressed and crazy to being in his right mind. How many of you have people in your life that you wish they would go from somebody being oppressed and crazy to being somebody in their right mind? If you don't have somebody, you may be that somebody. Amen? I know that the times that we're living in are difficult times. We're facing things that no other generation that we have seen in the past are facing. There's all kinds of stuff happening. But I want to tell you today that the power of Jesus to bring about the turnaround, there can't be a turnaround unless we're walking through difficult things. Does that make sense? Just like there can be no victory if there's no battle. If you don't have something to fight and you don't have something to overcome, you can never be an overcomer. And we are destined as the church of Jesus Christ to be overcomers. And so if we're going to be overcomers, we have to have things to overcome. How many of you know in the Old Testament, God gave the children of Israel the promised land, but He did not sweep it out of the enemy? Why was that? Because if they were going to be overcomers, they had to have some fights. They had to have some battles. They had to have an enemy that they had to rise up against and walk in faith and see the power of God bring turnaround after turnaround after turnaround in their lives. And I declare that over you today, and I declare that over your family today, that you're rising up in Jesus' name, and you're getting a new mind today in Jesus' name, and you're going to walk in a new way in Jesus' name. The turnaround is coming in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All this man did was very simple. All this demoniac did, he couldn't free himself. He couldn't get his mind right on his own. I want you to understand that. Many of us are trying to do things in our own strength, and we keep failing and we keep failing, and then we get mad at God because we're not trusting in him. We're trusting in our own selves. Now, I want to encourage you today, stop trusting in the arm of the flesh and put your faith in Jesus. Look what this man did. He saw Jesus. He ran to Jesus, and he worshiped at his feet. And Jesus turned his life around. Jesus turned his mind around. He didn't do that. It was all a work of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to encourage some of you today. You've been trying hard, and I commend you for that. But stop it. Stop trying to change your mind. Stop trying to change those things on your own and understand you can't do that, but you can run to Jesus. You can worship at his feet. And when you do that, he can do all things. He can rearrange those things. Now, I want to encourage you today, it's time to experience a turnaround in your mind. Jesus can bring a turnaround in your mind today if you'll run to him and worship. Some of us today need a turnaround in our health. There's some of us that are experiencing health issues. And I thank God I've experienced those in my life, and I've seen the favor of God, and I've seen the goodness of God. I've seen the healing. Now, I want to tell you today where I've seen people healed, and I've seen my own self healed. I've seen my wife healed. Now, I want to tell you today, you know, I've shared my testimony with many of you. I struggled for about 3 years with an incurable bladder disease. It was tremendous for my family. I was like, I couldn't hardly do anything. It was a horrible time. It was a horrible experience for my family. And my wife and I walked through that. And it was very difficult for us. But I want to tell you that we didn't give up. We had people around us that prayed and loved us. And God healed me miraculously. And I've been walking free from that. Now I want to tell you today, maybe you have been experiencing health issues. And if you need a turnaround in your life, amen. Jesus still heals sick bodies today. Now, I'll tell you this, I have prayed for people that I love that did not get healed, and I don't have the answers for that. I can't tell you why that happens. All I can tell you is God is sovereign, and God has called us as believers to lay hands on the sick and to release our faith for them, and God and the results are up to God. God has not called us to heal anybody. What he said is anoint them with oil and pray for the sick, amen? So we do what God tells us to do, and sometimes God does what we think he's going to do, and other times God doesn't do what we think he's going to do. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But the thing that you have to remember is God is always good. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and he knows what's best for each and every one of us. So look with me real quick to John chapter 5. And I'm going to talk to you really quickly about this guy, and then I want to pray today. John chapter 5, I'm going to read you verses 5 through 9. And this was a man who had been sick for 38 years. A lot longer than three. He'd been dealing with something that was a horrible disease. We don't know exactly what it was, but he was suffering. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9 says, "After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be made well?' The sick man answered him, 'Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me.' Jesus said to him, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk.' And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath." Can you say turnaround this morning? 38 years this man had suffered with this illness. I want you to think about how crazy that is. 38 long years he had been suffering with this. Then he would be. Verse 4 tells us that he believed if he could just get into the water when the water was stirred by the angel, then he would be healed because he had seen that happen many times. Verse 6, Jesus asks him something that's kind of funny. You know, how many of you think it, you know, you ask a sick person, "Hey, do you want to get better?" That kind of seems like, well, duh, of course I want to get better. Of course I want to be made well. Of course I want something to happen. Of course I want to see this. But how many of you know when you're dealing with something for such a long time, sometimes people give up hope? And I've been in that situation, and I've seen that in my own life where it's like, man, you just deal with something for so long, and it's the same thing, and it's the same thing, and it's the same thing, and you've tried everything that you know to do, and you've stood on the Word of God, and you still have not seen the manifestation of the healing that you're asking for. I know what that feels like, and I know what it's like to walk through that. And I just want to tell you that Jesus was asking this man, listen, do you want to be made well? Verse 7, the man responds, And the way he responds is he begins to talk about his lack of help from others. He begins to say, Lord, yeah, I want to be made well, but when the water gets stirred up, I got nobody to help me. How many of us today feel like we got nobody to help us? There's nobody to help me. There's nobody that will get me in the water. I want to be made well, but there are other people that they have people to help them. And I've seen this guy, and the last time the angel came and he stirred the waters and they got him into the water, he got healed, and I was almost there, but he got in before me and I wasn't able to get it. I don't have anybody to help me. It's a horrible feeling to feel. Nobody wants to be in a situation to that, and that's like they don't have anybody to help them, and this is where this guy was. And I want to tell you, Jesus knew that, and that's why he came that day. He knew the man didn't have anybody to help him. Now, I want you to understand today, Jesus sees what's going on in your life, and he knows what's going on in my life. And whether it be a healing Christ that would be able to lift you up and to talk to that you need, whether it be a brother or sister in Christ that would be able to lift you up. Jesus went that day, and Jesus sees what's going on in our lives. And I want you to see, the only person that we see that got healed was this man. It's almost like Jesus walked into that crowd just for him in particular. Just for him in particular. And then Jesus told him what to do. He gave him instructions and the man followed them. And in verse 9, he was made well. He stood on the Word of God. He received the Word of God and he did what Jesus told him to do. Jesus said, listen, pick up your bed and walk. And the Bible says that the man picked up his bed and walked. In other words, he was looking for an angel. He was looking for his healing to come in the usual way. How many of you know what I'm talking about? He was looking for, he had seen that happen so many times that angel stirred the water and then people got down and the one that got down in there got healed and his faith was in that. He believed God for that. He said, God, if I can just get in that water, I know that I'm going to be made well. In other words, this is the way you work, God. And I want to tell you today that God works in all kinds of different ways and God works in different ways for different people. Some people get healed immediately. Some people get healed as they go. And some people get healed when they enter into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. But that is up to God. And I want to just encourage you today. You may have been holding out for a long time and things may have been going on in your life, but don't just look for one particular way that God can turn around your situation in your body. Don't just look for one particular way. I shared with you when I was dealing with the incurable bladder disease. Listen, I had pastors and men and women of God from all over the world praying for me. We had people come into our house laying hands on me. And I remember I've seen Pastor Peter Dosick pray for people. I've seen bones grow out. I've seen all kinds of amazing miracles happen when he prays for people right in front of me. And when he prayed for me, I didn't get any better. I didn't feel any better. And then let me tell you what happened. I was even thinking to myself, my God, if these people are praying for me and nothing's happening, then what's going to happen? What? How am I ever going to get healed? And you know where I got healed? I went to a prison to preach and inmates came and laid hands on me and I didn't feel anything. And when I got home, I told my wife when I woke up the next morning, I said, babe, I don't have pain right now. I think God healed me. And she said, you better claim that healing. And I started claiming my healing. And guess what? Today I'm standing before you because God chose to heal me in a way that was not normal. It wasn't a normal thing. It wasn't great men and women of God that prayed for me. Well, maybe it was. Maybe they just weren't the ones I was looking for. So I want to encourage you today that if you're going through something and do it like this, don't limit God to what he can do. God can heal you instantly. God can heal you as you go. God can heal you through the process. But just don't stop believing that Jesus Christ can bring a turnaround in your life. I want to encourage you today. He is the master of the turnaround. today, whether you need a turnaround in your relationships, it doesn't matter where it is. I'm here to declare to you that the power of Jesus Christ is still alive today, and that God is still in the miracle working business, and that the power of Jesus Christ has not diminished at all. The name of Jesus is still the name of Jesus in 2020. Jesus is still powerful today as he was when he walked the earth in his own body. Now I want to declare that over you today. Don't lose faith in the power of Jesus Christ when you're going through a hard time. Now, I want you to see that this guy's identity changed from being an invalid who couldn't walk to a man who was made well by Jesus. Can you imagine the joy that he had when he got up from there and he walked out and everybody said, hey, aren't you that guy that we 38 years you've been laying there and you weren't able to get up? Like, what's the deal? What happened to you? Can you imagine the joy this man had to tell people what happened to him, that Jesus touched his life, that Jesus brought a turnaround? I want to tell you today that whatever you're facing, whatever you're dealing with, some of you today are going to be, people are going to say, hey, weren't you in debt and struggling? Weren't you that person that couldn't, you were calling me, asking me if you could borrow 50 bucks till payday or 100 bucks till payday, and you were saying, man, you know, I'm in this situation, I'm in that. How is it that you're giving other people money now? How is it that you've gotten over and you're going to be able to say, listen, hey, I serve a God who is in the business of turning around things, and I obey him. And when his word tells me what to do, I walk in obedience to his word, and I see his power operating in my life. Some of us have called people on the phone, and we have just given them the understanding and the impression that we're not in our right mind because we're ranting and raving about this, and we're angry about that, and we don't have any peace about this, and we've shared with them all of these crazy things, and you're going to get touched by God, and Jesus is going to bring a turnaround, and that person's going to call you, and all that's going to come out of your mouth is the peace of God, and that person's going to say, what in the world happened to you? And you're going to be able to say, listen, Jesus Christ brought a turnaround in my life, and now instead of wrong thinking, I've got right thinking, and it doesn't matter what I may be going through, because I'm destined to rule and reign in Jesus Christ. There's a turnaround that's taking place in my mind. And I'm telling you, it's not only possible, but it's available right now. God wants to touch you. God wants to heal you. God wants to bring a turnaround in every area of your life. So we're going to go ahead and close the live stream. Guys, I want to pray for you really quickly that are online watching. And I want to believe, God, that right where you are, he's going to touch your life and he's going to bless you. And then we're going to pray for the people here that are live in the service. So would you pray with me, those of you that are here? And let's believe, God, there are people watching right now that need a turnaround in their life. And God is no respecter of persons. Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are watching online. I pray for those who cannot be here today with us. And Lord, we bless them today. And Lord, I just declare in the mighty name of Jesus, turnaround in people's lives. I declare turnaround in finances. I declare turnaround in our minds. I declare turnaround in our bodies in Jesus' name. Lord, I declare turnaround in marriages. And I just see right now that where there was going to be divorce, God is breaking the power of that and bringing a new unity back in marriages. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for it. God, I thank you that people who have been out without peace, God, that they would come back to you in Jesus' name right now, and that there would be a peace. Praise for it in the name of peace in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, Lord. I thank you for the turnaround. I thank you for the turnaround. I thank you for the turnaround. Jesus, I just pray right now for those who have walked in disobedience, Father, that today would be the day that they would turn around in repentance. That's all repentance is turning around. It's turning around from the direction that you were going in the wrong way and turning around to Jesus. And that turnaround is one of the greatest things that you could ever do in your life. I just want to encourage you today, turn around in Jesus' name. Pastor, how can I do that? It's real simple. All you have to do is just say, God, forgive me for what I have done. Forgive me for the choices that I've made. Forgive me for the decisions that I've made. Forgive me from walking away from you. And right now, I choose today to turn around and put my faith in you, Jesus. And I thank you that as I do that and as I obey your word, you're going to bring a turnaround in my life. Lord, I thank you for doing it right now. I thank you for bringing a turnaround in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For those of you that are here right now, I really feel the anointing of God here today. And I want to encourage you. I'm not going to pray long, because what I feel like God wants me to do is lay my hands on you and just declare turnaround in your life if you need turnaround. So if that's you right now, I want to just ask you, get up out of your seat and come down to the front as quickly as you can. And it may be, you may need turnaround in something that I've not even talked about. It may be something completely different, and you're hearing today and you say, God, that word resonated with me. I need a turnaround in my life. I'm ready for the turnaround. If that's you, I want you to just come on up. We're going to give you just a few moments to come, and then we're just going to lay hands on you, and we're not going to pray long. We're just declaring turnaround in Jesus' name. And if you don't need that, I want to just encourage you to just stretch your hands this way and be in prayer with us for these brothers and sisters that are coming, because I'm telling you, God is getting ready to do something in our lives today. He's getting ready to bring a turnaround in our lives today in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah.